Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. This is Racing Across America, and of course, I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us on this Sunday morning. We'll do a little recap of some of the stakes action yesterday, maybe a little handicapping as well, some news and notes and whatnot. So, Sunday morning, Racing Across America, we're happy you tuned in. As it is Sunday morning, I do want to remind you that here at the Clubhouse Racebook on Sundays for, the next few months or so, NFL Sundays. Come on down. Enjoy all the NFL action as well as all the racing action here at the Clubhouse Racebook. If you wear a jersey, you get in for free. Maybe you'll win a jersey if you put your name on one of the squares. You can also win restaurant vouchers. So always a lot of fun down here Sunday afternoons at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany, NFL Sundays throughout the football season. So keep that in mind for today. Also for today, I just pulled up to get the exact total on the jackpot pick six, but it's closing day at Del Mar. That means a mandatory pays in all categories, including their jackpot pick six, which currently has $166,000 in the pool. So keep that in mind today at Del Mar, mandatory pays out in Southern California today. And yesterday during the handicappers report, I had mentioned there was an article, now I don't remember where I saw it, Racing Form maybe, but Woodbine hasn't made a decision about changing the name with the passing of the Queen in England. Does the Queen's Plate go back to the King's Plate now that there is a King as the monarch in the UK? And I said, gee, it's been the Queen's Plate for as long as I can remember because she has been Queen for a long time. So I didn't even remember. Well, my friend Sam tweeted after the show, had a poster in his house going back to when it was the King's Plate. And I pulled up the Wikipedia page. It's kind of interesting. The page that you go to when you look up Queen's Plate is the King's Plate page. It says the King's Plate, and then in parentheses, known as the Queen's Plate from 1860 to 1900 and from 1952 to 2022 when the reigning monarch was female. The oldest thoroughbred horse race having been founded, Canada's oldest thoroughbred horse race having been founded in 1860, also the oldest continuously run race in North America. Typically it's June or July. Last couple of years it's been a little bit later with COVID. We'll see how that calendar gets affected too, or whether they're going to stick with that August date. I mean, we always had a great time going up and covering the Queen's Plate. Obviously the August date totally preempts that thought because we're in the middle of Saratoga and enjoying our live coverage from the backstretch there. But again, we'll see if in the future that changes. But we'll also see if the name changes, reverts back, because it has over the years bounced back and forth between King's Plate and Queen's Plate, given the gender of the monarch over in the UK. And as it is now King Charles, we'll see if things do change. But when I first read that article, I thought it was interesting. And as I say, I didn't know it had been the King's Plate at one time, which, you know, given the history, makes sense. But given the Queen has been the Queen for so long, the Queen's Plate has been the Queen's Plate again in this current formulation going back to 1952. So my whole life and beyond. And we'll see, as I say, the article said that Woodbine hadn't decided quite what to do, but you would have to think it may well become the King's Plate again. All right, as I said, we'll recap some of the stakes action from yesterday. When I was in yesterday, I was looking at some Kentucky Downs and some Monmouth. We had Del Mar action on the network as well yesterday. So we'll take a look at some of that action here. Really nice stakes card yesterday at Kentucky Downs. I handicapped that on the handicappers report yesterday. And I would be interested to know, get a bunch of, I was going to say public handicappers. I'm not sure how many public handicappers focus on Kentucky Downs. So maybe just generally public handicappers these days out in social media and whatnot, and get an idea of how their day was. I had, I think, a couple winners on top yesterday. And at I think that, to me, that's kind of typical, and it's a little bit of a struggle down there at Kentucky Downs, which means you can typically find a little bit of value. But the fact is, these horses, they're probably only going to get one start down there. It's a quirky, very unique surface. Horses coming in from all over because they put up so much money that trainers from all over look and say, let's give it a shot. A lot of horses that are more dirt meant that will try the turf because of the money. So it's a little bit of a tough situation to handicap, and that's the way it played out for me yesterday. As I said, I had a couple on top. The winner in the Mint Million, the G3, grade 3 million-dollar Mint Million at a mile, the winner was a horse I had right underneath in my mix. On top, I took a shot with Cavalry Charge for West Point Thoroughbreds, and unfortunately, that one, you know, was in the mix early and then wound up fading to be last in the field of 8. Thought we'd get some value there. We did it 11-1. But right underneath, I had it Some Like It Hot Brown, and I was curious as how the pace was going to play out because I think Some Like It Hot Brown had the potential to lead or stalk. Number 4 is Some Like It Hot Brown, and as you can see, led all the way around and did it very nicely at 2-1 favoritism. So the betting public, again, I had that one right underneath in my mix. Betting public, a little smarter than me, getting it done. This one, and again, as I said when I was in here handicapping yesterday, I was looking at horses often during the day who had some experience at Kentucky Downs because it is so quirky, such a unique surface. I think some experience over the course counts. That's one of the reasons I went with Cavalry Charge, had a win over the track just about this time last year. And again, that one disappointed a little bit yesterday. But Some Like It Hot Brown also with some experience over the track, having run second in this very race last year. Pixelate was the winner there. Pixelate yesterday ran sixth in the field of 8, so didn't kind of follow up the win last year with a validation of that necessarily. Atone ran second. And you could see there was a point in the stretch where there was maybe a little bit of a challenge, but then Some Like It Hot Brown pulled away and won by a chart margin of just over a length. But Atone coming in off a nice close-up third-place finish up at Saratoga. Before that, had run second to City Man in the Forbidden Apple. So the two Saratoga finishes seemed to set Atone up for a nice run yesterday. Trained by Michael Maker, who, whatever he's running down there, you have to pay attention to. And that one runs second, and then Mr. Dumas ran third off a close-up second-place finish over at Ellis. And Ellis Shippers seemed to do nicely yesterday. Maybe worth looking at over the next 2 days at Kentucky Downs, and there are a couple more days at Kentucky Downs. We'll be looking at Kentucky Downs again this afternoon on OTB Live, and they will race again on Wednesday as well. So keep that in mind, a couple more days. And as I say, Mike Maker, and I have the actual stats, trainers and jockeys. I'll hit on those in a few. But Mike Maker doing very, very well. But as I say, yesterday, Shippers from Alice were maybe worth paying attention to a little bit. This was one of the winners I had on top yesterday going to the ladies' turf. I like Dalika. Last year, she had run second in the ladies' turf to Princess Grace. I used Dalika over Hendy Woods, over Princess Grace, but they come down to the wire, and it is Dalika the one and the number 8, Princess Grace, really duking it out. And you love to see this, a front runner who just won't let the other horse go by, because you had to feel like Princess Grace, who was the favorite, the even money favorite, 7-2 was Dalika, and Dalika just wouldn't let that one go by. Coming up late was Market Rumor, but it was Brian Hernandez on board Dalika for Al Stahl. Talked a little bit, we had Al on the show up in Saratoga last week, I want to say. We talked a little bit about this one, and you know, he said aiming for Kentucky Downs and looking pretty good on the front end for Dalika, coming out of a win prior in the Beverly D. That's one of the reasons we were talking with this one with Al Stahl, the nice win in the Beverly D in the middle of August on that quirky one day down at Churchill for the Arlington Million. But Dalika goes back-to-back with a couple of nice efforts, the Beverly D and the win yesterday at Kentucky Downs in the ladies' turf. Also on the agenda yesterday, it was the turf sprint. And I'm looking, favorite was Arrest Me Red. I used Arrest Me Red on top. And that one just, I don't know, spinning his wheels a little bit late in the stretch, it seemed like. Arrest Me Red's going to be the number 12 horse here. Artemis City Limits got in off the AE list and was first on the AE list. And usually I take a look at those. And I looked at Artemis City Limits. Mike Maker, Tyler Gaffleone. I just didn't pull the trigger putting that one in my mix. But with the scratch, that one pulls in. And you had a nice finish here with Brand, the number 8, over Artemis City Limits. And again, the number 12, Arrest Me Red. Just going to kind of, as I say, spin his wheels maybe a little bit in the stretch and not challenge so much as the top two put on quite a show. It says a neck, and it is a neck there just under the wire as they were going back and forth down the stretch. But Brand got it done for John Sadler. When I handicapped the race, I said Brand was just outside of my mix, and I wouldn't argue with anybody that was using that one. Comes in from Southern California for John Sadler. Ran a close-up third in a mile stake out at Del Mar last time. Two starts back, 6.5 furlongs at Santa Anita, one. So if the cut back to the six maybe was beneficial for that one yesterday. Certainly beneficial in your pocket because you got, again, with the no breakage, you got $25.56 down there for the win on Brand. And again, Artemis City Limits, who I thought was very playable coming in off the AE list, runs second at 10-1. So you wound up with a nice little exactitude for a buck, $116. A couple of horses that were playable just kind of floated outside of my mix. So I'm not redboarding, didn't have it, but they were both very haveable. And again, kind of symbolic of what Kentucky Downs is. Tough to handicap, but if you get it right, you can get a little bit of a price with a couple of logical players in there. You know, 116 for a buck on an exacta, that's a nice return. That, you know, again, has the potential to being one race to make you flush for a day where maybe you kind of treaded water a little bit otherwise, but that's Kentucky Downs, and there's a couple of days left of the Kentucky Downs action. Highlight of the day yesterday was the Kentucky Turf Cup, although all of the stakes races were very nice, but the Kentucky Turf Cup, Grade 2 event, $1 million, mile and a half. The distance, Gufo was interesting. I took a little bit of a shot with Arklow on a horse for a course kind of an angle with Arklow. The 7-year-old had run second in this race last year, had won this race 2 years back, and overall a couple of wins and a couple of seconds and 4 starts at Kentucky Downs for Arklow. So I used Arklow. Arklow's the number 4. Right in the mix, as you can see, late, but fades. Arklow winds up running 6th. Red Knight gets it done over Gufo. Gufo's the number 8. Red Knight's the number 1. Red Knight comes up late, or Gufo comes up late and comes up just, as you can see, just short there. Chart margin is a nose and a neck between 1st and 2nd, 2nd and 3rd. Another mystery runs 3rd in there. But it is Gerardo Corrales getting it done on Red Knight for Mike Maker. And so nice performance for that one, for a trainer who is going very well at the meet. And if I'm not mistaken, the follow-up article I read this morning on Red Knight, this was Mike Maker's 5th win in this race at Kentucky Downs, all since 2015. So nice performance by Red Knight, but a nice performance also by trainer Mike Maker, who is doing very well down at Kentucky Downs this year, but clearly does well down there overall with his 5th win in the Kentucky Turf Cup. Red Knight paying $26.04. So, and that one was maybe a little bit, you know, as I say, in the last race, I thought the 1-2 finishers were kind of logical. I'm not saying you couldn't have gotten on Red Knight. To me, that was a little more of a struggle. Came out of a win last time at Colonial in a stakes race, the Colonial Cup. So on that, certainly worth a look and playable and being a Mike Maker horse. But just overall, I thought it was a kind of a salty field. I thought there were some other horses that were a little more interesting. But again, there were things to like and kind of haveable. And I will say the exacta there for Bucky got 41 with Red Knight over the 8-5 favorite Gufo. So you know, with the $25 winner, $41 for a buck, so it was 82. You know, got a little exacta juice there. If you played around with Gufo, maybe top and bottom in your exactness. Also, yesterday at Kentucky Downs, the ladies' sprint. Ladies' sprint was the 11th race on the card. As the name indicates, fillies and mares going 6.5. I put number 6 on top, Toby's Heart. Oof. So I had a couple of top picks run last because Toby's Heart also ran last. The chart says bump start. It wasn't much of a bump. Toby's Heart didn't do much. But right underneath, I had Campanel, who was completely logical from Wesley Ward. I just didn't think the horse was invincible and thought worth maybe taking a little shot against. Again, had it right underneath. And Campanel gets it done. Bayan Knows, however, Baystorm gives Campanel all she could ask for. And you can see there, Campanel holds off Baystorm on the inside. She Can't Sing runs third in there. But Campanel went off at 78 cents to the dollar. You got $3.56 for the logical Wesley Ward runner getting it done. And again, another one of those Wesley Ward turf sprinters. This was now win number 6 in start number 10. You know, has won over at Deauville, has run, won at Ascot. Most recently this year, tried Ascot again and was a very, very close up third in a field of 24, facing the boys as well. So it was a nice trip over to Ascot. Hadn't been seen since that middle of June race, but comes back successfully yesterday in the turf sprint. I'll also toss out, I didn't call for the replay, but as I say, the turf sprint was the 11th, the 12th race yesterday was the Franklin Simpson, and I just tossed that out. As I say, I didn't call for the replay, but the winner there was number 12, One Timer. And there we go. Thank you, Dan. Dan pulling up the replay of the Franklin Simpson. Number 12, One Timer. Run Curtis Run running second. Big Invasion, the really nice Dean Reeves runner who helped Dean Reeves have the really good meet up at Saratoga and came out of the two big wins up at Saratoga. Winds up third, pretty well beaten third, you know, 6 lengths back as you can see here. That was number 6, Big Invasion. Clear winner, though, by over 4 lengths. It was One Timer, and as I say, wanted to pull that up because it's Larry Ravelli, but it's also E.T. Baird, 55-year-old E.T. Baird, pulling down a nice stakes victory, expensive stakes victory at Kentucky Downs. Comes out of a poor performance in the St. Louis Derby, but that was on the dirt. And it just, you know, you look down the record, and given that one dirt start, you know, kind of an experiment, a failed experiment. The other races on the synthetic and the turf were all pretty good. And so getting back to the turf yesterday, it was One Timer and at a price with E.T. Baird on board for Larry Ravelli, $41.94. The 58 cent to a dollar favorite was Big Invasion. Again, a little bit disappointing in there. You know, ran third, but again, it was a well-beaten third, over 6 lengths back for a Big Invasion. But it's hard to ignore that Big Invasion still is a force to be reckoned with, certainly on the 3-year-old turf sprint side of things. But we will see going forward whether they, you know, what kind of shots they take towards the end of the year, given this is a 3-year-old. And yesterday's race, again, restricted to 3-year-olds. Will they step in against older, or will they kind of wait to do that next year maybe? But Big Invasion, again, third yesterday, but doesn't really take away from the luster that that's going to be a nice turf sprinter. It already is for, Dean Reeves and Christophe Clement. All right, that was the Kentucky Downs action yesterday. And as they say, we have a couple more days left of Kentucky Downs. And in fact, let me pull up, as noted, I have the human side of things for Kentucky Downs. Today and Wednesday, still remaining at Kentucky Downs, human side of things. Trainer side, as noted, Mike Maker having a very good meet. He has 10 winners. Then you drop down fairly significantly to Wesley Ward with 5. So Maker with 10, Wesley Ward with 5. Ken McPeak and Safi Joseph each with 3. A number of trainers have two wins, Asmussen Sharp, Shug, Kelsey Danner, and Jeff Hiles each have a couple wins. So Mike Maker at this point with a five-win cushion and a couple days left probably seems in a pretty good spot. On the jockey side of things down at Kentucky Downs, Tyler Gaffleone with nine wins has the lead. Gerardo Corrales has six. Joel Rosario with a number with two other jockeys, three total, tied at four. Joel Rosario, Julian Lepereau, and Brian Hernandez all have four. So, again, a three-win lead for Tyler Gaffleone at this point with a couple of days of racing left. So Maker with the five-win lead probably is in a good spot. Doesn't have it socked away, but probably pretty close. But on the jockey side of things, maybe gets a little more interesting over the next couple of days. All right, we'll take a break. We have some more stakes action. There were some nice stakes at Del Mar yesterday, including some juvenile action. I always like to look at the two-year-olds. They'll do a little juvenile action today as well at Del Mar. So we'll take a look at that action, and then a little bit later on we'll do some handicapping. But first, a little break. So step away. Go grab a cup of coffee if you want to, or refresh your coffee. Come on back as Racing Across America continues on this Sunday morning. Stay tuned.
Capital OTV is now streaming live on Roku. The RTN Racing Channel on Roku lets you watch OTV TV live through your Roku device or your Amazon Fire Stick, rather than being limited to computers and mobile devices, which means you can now watch OTV live wherever you are. Simply open Roku, scroll to find the RTN channel, then click on OTV TV. OTV TV on Roku. Try it now.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB, become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Again, there was some nice stakes action yesterday at Del Mar. We'll hit on that. And as I say, featured some juveniles. There was also another stake on the card. But today there's some juveniles as well. And we'll take a look at that in preview a little bit also. But going back to yesterday, Del Mar Juvenile Fillies Turf. The winner is going to be Comanche Country. The number seven horse for Phil D'Amato. Phil D'Amato having a pretty good meet. Umberto Raspoli on board. Second choice, yeah, close up second choice at 2-1. Comanche Country oversell the dream over Excella here. And as you can see, chart margin winds up to be just over a length. Comanche Country started the career over in Ireland, just missed in the career debut there, then tried a group three and wound up seventh, came over to the United States, moved into the barn of Phil D'Amato, and broke the maiden in the first start here in this country, and then followed it up yesterday with a nice little stakes victory. So you would think Little Red Feather Racing probably has a nice little two-year-old turf filly here, and going forward, a nice three-year-old turf filly as they move into next season. But two for two since arriving in this country after having started over in Europe. And so have to appreciate that record, certainly, with the maiden breaker and then stepping into stakes company and getting it done yesterday at Del Mar. Also, that was on the turf. The juvenile fillies faced off on the dirt as well in the Del Mar debutante grade one event. To kind of help wrap things up on this closing weekend, $300,000 up for grabs. And Tell Me No Lies, the number three horse, going to get it done at 9-1. Home Cooking, the number six, was the favorite. Home Cooking went out for Bob Baffert off a 9-length maiden breaker back on August 21st. Home Cooking going to be the number 6 horse, and we'll get run down here, as you can see, by number 3 and Tell Me No Lies at 9-1. Ice Dancing runs third. Chart Margin winds up to be ahead. Home Cooking, again, Mike Smith on board for Bob Baffert coming out of the big win last time. And Tell Me No Lies also coming out of a win. And frankly, if you're a buyer guy, the buyers were pretty close. Home Cooking won, but won decisively by 9 lengths. So visually, you could argue that I don't even know if it's an argument, but you can certainly recognize visually that 9-length win had a little more oomph perhaps. But on the buyer side of things, it was a 76. And Tell Me No Lies won her last race by a neck, but with a 73 buyer. So there were 3 buyer points apart, which seems to kind of say, you know, 3-5 versus 9-1. Maybe the disparity was a little much. Peter Miller, trainer of Tell Me No Lies, having a decent little meet and gets it done yesterday at $21.80 there with the favorite underneath in the exact. Got $23 for a buck for the exacta there with the favorite underneath. Also, there was another stake on the card yesterday at Del Mar, the John C. Maybe, this one for fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, going a mile and an eighth. And in the John C. Maybe, it was Avenue de France on top. Came out of a second place finish in the Yellow Ribbon last time. 2 starts back, both of at Del Mar. The Yellow Ribbon, the second, and then won a restricted stake at early in the Del Mar meet. Avenue de France is going to be the number 3 here and will hold off the favorite, the 1-2 favorite, going global. Chart Margin is half a length. Avenue de France, 10-1 over the favorite there. Going to Vegas, ran third. So, again, nice performance there. Coming out of a couple of nice performances earlier in the meet. As I say, Avenue de France had run second in the Yellow Ribbon. Going Global had won. So, again, it was another one where, you know, it was a 3-length margin. But we're looking at 1-2 versus 10-1 for the horses that were 1-2 last time. So, again, it was another one where maybe you could have taken a look and played around a little bit and wound up with a horse that maybe had to improve slightly, but not that much to wind up getting what seems to be, again, on the page, maybe a little bit better price than was deserved in both of those last couple of races we looked at Del Mar. And finally, wanted to look at the Baltimore-Washington International Turf Cup. Nice little field yesterday. That was at Pimlico. They're doing a little meet at Pimlico here. Gets a refresher for the turf course over at Laurel. But they offered up a couple $100,000 for the Grade 3 event, the International Turf Cup. And as I say, wound up with a nice field. You had Public Sector in here for Chad Brown. Graham Motion had a Euro import, Palo Alto. You had Sifting Sands, a horse I have liked throughout its career for Chad Brown. And Set Piece for Brad Cox and Judmont will be the winner. Set Piece is the number 6 horse. Palo Alto, the number 2, runs second. Public Sector runs third. But Set Piece went off as the 8-5 favorite. Came in off a try in the Arlington Million last time. A little bit disappointing running fourth. Not today, or not yesterday, however. Had tried the Forbidden Apple up at Saratoga and run fifth in there. He had to go back 3 starts to see a win in a stakes race. It was the Dinner Party. Maybe notable because 3 starts back, the last win for Set Piece, it was at Pimlico. So now 2-for-2 on the Pimlico Turf Set Piece. And again, pays $5.20 as the favorite in the Baltimore-Washington International Turf Cup yesterday at Pimlico. All right, let's take a look again. I said do a little preview of the juvenile action today on this closing day at Del Mar. And once again, it's closing day at Del Mar. So there's $166,000 in their jackpot pick 6. That's a mandatory pay, and it's a mandatory pay across the board for any of the wagers today at Del Mar. Keep that in mind. But Del Mar, 9th race today will be the Del Mar Juvenile Turf. Grade 3 event, a mile on the turf. kind of interesting. President Z on the outside, nice win last time at Los Alamitos, and that was back on July 3rd. More importantly, it was on the dirt. But I had a turf start just before that, so clearly they were thinking turf. It's Owen Hardy at 20-1. President Z is interesting to me. Probably you go out to Tahoma, way towards the outside for Doug O'Neill. Tahoma, I think, off the first couple of starts is interesting. They were both over at Santa Anita. Hasn't been seen since mid-June, however, and trying the turf. But I thought Tahoma's playable. Probably most interesting to me is Don't Think, Just Do It. Comes out of a maiden breaker right here at Del Mar, but against Calbreds for Brian Coroner. 5-1 on the morning line. A nice big field. I would think there will be some value here for sure. Stone Point comes in for Peter Miller as a maiden. I could make a case there at 20-1 too. Big field, there'll be some value, but I thought the 4, the 7, the 10, the 13 were a little bit interesting in that Del Mar juvenile turf a little bit later on today. And again, that's the boys on the turf. And like yesterday with the girls on the turf and the dirt, there's a dirt juvenile race too. Annually, one of the highlights of the Del Mar meet, certainly the end of the Del Mar meet, the Del Mar Futurity Grade 1 event. $300,000 up for grabs, 7 furlongs. We have the hopeful, they have the Del Mar Futurity. And this one's going to be fun just to see what a potential superstar can do. Cave Rock is in here off the maiden breaker, August 13th for Bob Baffert, Mike Pegram and company. This one won and won decisively in the first start of the career and did it getting a 101 buyer figure. So this, again, potential superstar, check in for the Del Mar Futurity later on, race number 10, to see if Cave Rock can live up to that. I thought Have Name It Down might be interesting. It's the other Baffert. He's 2-for-2. He threw in solid numbers, solid buyers for a two-year-old this time of year so far with an 80 and 81. Those are 20 points behind the hot Baffert runner, but that the 8 horse is potentially interesting in here as well. And given that Cave Rock will take so much money, you may get a little value there. Newgate off a maiden breaker is another Bob Baffert runner in here. Does he have? He has the 3 out of the 9 in here. But again, that's a little bit later on the Del Mar Futurity today. So things wrapping up out in Southern California with potentially looking at some interesting juveniles, turf and dirt, male and female. And I do have the human side of things for Del Mar as well. Went over these yesterday, so there won't be much change. And we said it yesterday, and it's still a fact today, that the jockey title is sewn up and probably has been for a week or so at least, even on a long shot kind of a thing. But Juan Hernandez, J.J. Hernandez, 47 winners, Umberto Rispoli, 27. So that's not bad. You get a boutique meet like this and have a 20-win lead. So Hernandez over Rispoli, 47-27. Ramon Vasquez with 23. Mike Smith sits in fourth place with 17. Hector Barrios also 17. And I mentioned yesterday, it's kind of interesting, with Flavien Prat just kind of, he was riding here on the East Coast and at Saratoga most of the summer. Went out Pacific Classic Day, I think, and then after Saratoga ended, catching the last week at Del Mar, he may wind up in the top 10. He's sitting one win out of the top 10, I believe, at this. Yeah, he is 22 starters. He has 8 wins, obviously in a limited number of dates out there. But he's one away from getting into the top 10. That would be kind of interesting to go out and essentially ride for a week and hit the top 10 leaderboard amongst jockeys. So Flavien Prat, one winner. He's one behind Mario Gutierrez. So, again, we'll see what both of those. I'm not sure if Gutierrez is riding today. I didn't look at the number of mounts or anything, but it'd be interesting to see what Prat can do. And pop into the top 10 with, again, a very limited number of dates. On the trainer side of things, maybe a little more interesting on this final day of Del Mar, with Phil D'Amato sitting at 19 wins, Bob Baffert at 18, Peter Miller at 17, as is Doug O'Neill. So it's a one-win margin, but it's only a couple wins back to third or fourth, and all four of these guys have had good meets. And as I say, Baffert could be loaded with Cave Rock in the juvenile stakes race, so we'll see how that all plays out on the trainer side at Del Mar this afternoon, the final day of their summer meet. Again, always bittersweet when these summer meets come to a close, because that means summer's close is around the corner. Happened last week here at Saratoga and today at Del Mar. But don't forget, that does also mean mandatory pays in the various wagers, including their Jackpot 6, which has $166,000 up for grabs today. All right, we'll take our last break. When we come back, maybe do a little handicapping, maybe take a look at Kentucky Downs. As they say, it's tough to string them together at Kentucky Downs, but maybe we'll take a look at some of the action there, see if we can toss out a couple of opinions that maybe will make the weekend worthwhile, as we're also down to the last couple of days at Kentucky Downs today and Wednesday, wrapping things up there. So another break here on Racing Across America, and when we come back, try to give out some clever ideas for this afternoon. We'll see how that works out. Stay tuned. Having trouble finding us? It's actually quite simple. Whether online or on your TV, it's never been easier to watch and wager on championship horse racing with Capital OTB. Simply log on to CapitalOTBBet.com. There you can watch our morning shows, live stream races, and wager on our state-of-the-art wagering platform. You can also watch from the comfort of your home on Spectrum Cable Channel 1250 or Fios Channel 467. And win more with Capital OTB.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Bridgestone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Bridgestone surges past. Bridgestone wins the Belmont Stakes.
But here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Bob Rock. These two arch rivals head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. Seth Merrill in the studio. Thanks for joining us. Let's take a look at the early pick four at Kentucky Downs today. And again, I'll be back in a couple hours with OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon, and we'll take a live look at Kentucky Downs as well. We'll have some Monmouth, a little Saratoga Harness and whatnot. So should be a fun day here on the network, and hopefully a fun early pick four at Kentucky Downs, which will kick off with race number two. Maiden special, two-year-olds going 6.5. And I have a second race at Kentucky Downs, 5, 11, 4, and 8. Number 5 is Permafrost by Frosted. Frosted, pretty good with first-time starters, 82 firsters this year, 8 wins, 7 seconds, 5 thirds. Those are solid numbers. There was a sibling called Revere, second in debut, won the second start. That was going 1.8 on the turf at Tampa last year. There's another sibling called Auntie Joy that won its debut. That's going back a few years. That was back in 2015, but it was at Churchill going 1.16 on the turf. I thought this horse had the interesting win early breeding, a little turf with the siblings. It's Steve Asmussen, Joel Rosario. We'll put Permafrost on top, the number 5 horse, then go out to I-95 by Cloud Computing. Cloud Computing this year, 19 first-time starters, a couple wins, a second, and 4 thirds. Dam's first full, and the dam was a little more dirt, so I'm a little bit leery about this, but it is Mike Maker, who, as we said earlier, is having the very good meet here, so I'll put that one in the mix at 12-1. And then River Boy in the third spot, Sharp Azteca, You have heard people talk about him now for a few months as being a very intriguing win early sire. 37 first-time starters this year, 7 wins, 3 seconds, and a third. Again, those are very solid numbers. A couple of siblings looking at Blessing and Stevie Q, both won in their third career starts. And again, if you can get it done, starts 1, start 2, start 3, I look at that as being a little bit precocious. So Riverboy playable. Retained. Comes over from Ellis for Brendan Walsh and moves to the turf. That's the question mark. But again, they put up so much money that I get it. If you have a dirt runner, but a dirt runner that you think has a little bit of talent and maybe will like the turf, you give it a try. As I said yesterday, there were some Ellis shippers who did okay coming over. So I'll toss retained in. There are two or three others in here who I think you could make cases for, including on the AE list. The 13, Iguazu for Wesley Ward. Communication memo is probably a little too deep to get in. Although I saw a couple over the past few days who did scratch in from being a little deeper on the AE list. But communication memo also may be interesting, and a couple others as well. Like a lot of these races at Kentucky Downs, they're puzzles. You can look in a few different directions. They're nice big fields, nice big competitive fields, and that means there's the potential for a little value there. In the second race, 5, 11, 4, and 8. Race number 3 at Kentucky Downs this afternoon, second leg of the early pick 4. I have a 3, 1, 11, and 9. I'll put Aerobatic on top. It's Chad Brown. It's Judmont. Very lightly raced. Coming in off a win over at Ellis. And again, the Ellis runners yesterday were kind of productive. What's a Chad Brown runner doing down at Ellis? Well, those purses down in Kentucky, over at Churchill, certainly for the Kentucky breads, you know, there's that extra Kentucky bread fund in a lot of races, which just kind of juiced things up really nicely. And that includes this race, which has a $170,000 purse. But this horse won over at Ellis. The Ellis horse is doing nicely. Chad Brown and Judmont will put Aerobic on top. Always late in the second slot. Bill Mott trainee. Last seen up at Saratoga, running well. Had been at Belmont 2 back. The Saratoga performance was a little bit improved. I think overall this horse may be moving in the right direction. Bill Mott and Joel Rosario. And then we go out to the number 11. 12-1 for Touch of Class. Also coming in from Ellis most recently, showed some oomph before fading a little bit. Was a little stakes race over at Ellis. Now drops back into the more proper non-winners of two other than. So I think Touch of Class at a price with Brian Hernandez on board. Very, very playable in the third at Churchill. 3, 1, 11, and 9. Race number 4 at Churchill on Sunday afternoon. Another optional claimer, non-winners of two other than for $170,000. I'm going to go 4, 6, 10, and 12. Champagne Lady on top. It's Shug, but maybe more importantly, Tyler Gaffleone, who's riding very well. Tried a stakes race down at Monmouth last time. Of the last few starts, of the starts going back to December, which was a comeback from a very long layoff, but in those 5 starts since, that's really the only dud. I'm going to kind of draw a line through that because I think the horse is better than that. What will we see on this quirky turf course? I don't know, but I think we're, get the benefit of getting Gaffleone on board, who rides well down here. So I'll tilt towards Champagne Lady, you know, not with a whole lot of confidence, but I think the horse could be interesting at a 5-1 price. Demo Dog in the second slot goes out for Brendan Walsh. Last time out, ran 5th, but a close-up 5th in a stakes race over at Ellis. So again, not to harp on that, but the Ellis runners yesterday did nicely. This one coming in off a couple of okay tries over at Ellis may benefit from that situation, and we'll put Demo Dog in the mix. And then Undisturbed in the third spot. Has plenty of early speed. Was in that stake over at Ellis last time and wound up pretty well beaten 7th. But prior to that, was in another Ellis stakes race and just missed. And I think, given what you see on the page over the last half dozen races or so in particular, that last race just, it does not seem to be indicative of what we can expect. So I'm going to kind of draw a line through that last race at Ellis and look for a rebound performance from Undisturbed. Outside Flown, the number 12, you're getting 12-1 on a horse that, again, the last race, it seems like maybe one you can draw a line through. I'm going to look for a rebound for that one. It's Brendan Walsh and Joel Rosario, and at the price, Flown is one that, if you're looking for a little bit of a price in here, could be playable in the fourth at Kentucky Downs, 4, 6, 10, and 12. And we wrap up that early pick four in race number five, an allowance non-winners of one other than, these non-winners of one other than runners vying for a mere $160,000 going 7 furlongs. Excuse me, I have it 1, 11, 10, and 2. I but can't believe it on top. Jimmy DeVito runner is very lightly raced, hasn't been seen since last year, with a couple of promising starts as a two-year-old. These are the kind I talk about often, as showed some promise, now layoff, come back as a three-year-old, could come back improved. And I'll tell you what, the workouts seem to indicate that is going to be the case. But it is a long layoff. The 7 furlongs is a little bit of a test off the layoff, particularly over this course. So the 9-2, I would like that to float up a few points, given the question marks off the layoff and whatnot. But again, won't shock me to see this horse come back improved. And I don't know if the horse has to come back too much improved from the last start of last year. But we'll put Can't Believe It on top. Al Kahira in the second slot. Last seen in a couple of starts up at Saratoga for Billamont. Start two back was the Lake George. Showed some punch before fading late, but still an okay fourth. And then went into an optional claimer last time. Again, showed a little oomph before fading. That was a little bit more of a disappointment. So I'm not quite sure what to make of this horse. I think overall, however, probably fits with this group. But the last leaves me a little bit cool. We need to rebound a little bit from that. I just don't think that's out of the question. You know, we'll see if this horse starts to string them together. Poorer performances. But I think as a player, if we do get maybe a little bit of a rebound to a better effort. And then Boxing Day. I've mentioned it already a few times this morning. At Kentucky Downs, a horse that has a little experience over the course gets an extra little check mark from me. And this one has a nice win in the career debut last year. Broke the maiden. Subsequent starts were, you know, have been mixed bag, okay. But with the start over the course that was okay, it is Brendan Walsh, Jose Ortiz. And we're getting 12-1 on the morning line. And I think we'll get some value. And the value then allows me to go back to that maiden breaker and think, maybe another start over the course may be beneficial here. Fourth spot, I'll use American Starlet, Wesley Ward runner at 6-1 with Tyler Gaffleone on board. Coming out of a nice try up at Saratoga. That one at 6-1 is kind of attractive. I think that's a good price. But again, with these big fields, nice prices are not out of the question. So in the fifth at Kentucky Downs, I have it 1, 11, 10, and 2. A little bit later on OTB Live, I will have live looks at Kentucky Downs. We will also have some Monmouth in the mix. We'll have much more on the network as well, but we'd love to have you tune in. As I say, a little under 2 hours or so for that. Kentucky Downs is slated to, maybe closer to a little under an hour and a half, because I'm now looking Monmouth's first post 12:15. Kentucky Downs will be 1:25. They're 12:25 Central Time, so they'll be a little bit later. But we'll kick things off with Monmouth and cook along with them until Kentucky Downs action kicks off. Should be a fun afternoon. Again, Del Mar's closing day. Keep that in mind with the mandatory pays. And again, keep in mind also, we are underway with the NFL football season, and that means here at the Clubhouse Racebook, NFL Sundays. Come on down, wear your jersey. You get in for free. You can also win a jersey, put your name on the squares. You have a chance to win a jersey if you match the halftime or the final score, or win a restaurant voucher. So it's always a lot of fun. Football Sundays with our screens on the far end of the building. We have all the football action available for you. So no matter who you're rooting for, you'll be able to enjoy that football action here at the Clubhouse Racebook. Come on down, enjoy the restaurant, grab some lunch, grab a table, bring your friends. A little football, a little racing action Sundays. Again, probably the next 3 months or so here at the Clubhouse Racebook on Sundays, 7-Eleven Central Avenue in Albany. I mentioned it yesterday. I'll tout it again. Had a fun conversation with Joe Bianca from TDN, the Thoroughbred Daily News, on their Better Things podcast. Yesterday it was on the front page. I'm not sure whether it's still there today. I didn't look. But you won't have to go far. I'm sure there's some kind of podcast link right on the front page. Go to TDN. You can check that out. Fun conversation with Joe. Just talked about various racing, handicapping. We talked a little New York Jets because he's a Jets fan as well. So we lamented there. And as I say, nice little visit with the folks at TDN. So check that out also. Otherwise, I will wrap it up for this edition of Racing Across America for a Sunday morning. I'm Seth Merrill. Again, stay tuned because coming up in, as I say, an hour and a half or so, a little less than that maybe, 12:15 post, we'll kick in with some Monmouth for this afternoon on OTB Live. Hopefully toss out some good opinions and have a fun afternoon. And that's going to be the game plan throughout the day. So you can enjoy some action here on the network. You know, fire up your OTB bet account on your phone, your tablet, your computer. Put us on the TV, kick back. Still nice weather. I'm not guessing. I know local folks still have the pools open. So if you want to go out, sit by the pool, bring the tablet out there, or open the door to the family room, turn the TV up while you're sitting out by the pool, and you can run in and watch the races and enjoy us that way. Make the most of summer. We still have a little summertime left. People think Labor Day. No. You still have a few weeks of summer left. Make the most of it. All right, we'll wrap it up for this Sunday morning. Seth Merrill, Racing Across America. Appreciate your tuning in. Once again, we'll be back in about an hour and a half or so. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.